it's like marketing. I encourage people to be consistent and just get across it. Don't fear it. If you don't understand it, reach out to someone for some help. That's the biggest thing, because many of us avoid the things that we don't understand. So again, it's consistency, but don't be afraid. Have a go.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Thanks for joining us again today on the podcast on podcasting. It is your host, Adam Triple A Adams, and stoked to be with Carrie Zarb. I was on her podcast just recently, not long ago at all. We met on an app called Clubhouse. She's awesome. You're going to get a lot of value. We're really talking about knowing your numbers. We're really trying to understand what kind of key performance indicators that there are for you to be looking at and keeping track of. And we're going to be talking about, like, these numbers are not scary. Don't avoid them. Make sure you just dive in head first. Carrie said in her bio, I love this bio. I had to chuckle a little bit as I was reading through it. But she said, as in business, she's more of like a business addict. And she said, if there's like a BAA, a Business Addicts Anonymous, she would be a platinum member. So she's just here to kind of share her experiences, some of the hurdles that she's overcome, knowing your numbers. She's actually a business consultant. So that's what she does. She helps figure out the numbers. So we're going to be talking about some of the hurdles that she's overcome with her show and helping us be able to go through our business journey or our podcast journey through knowing our numbers. And so she also says that her goal is to help you avoid your pain and the roadblocks, and just, she has this triple H thing. It says, let's go from headache to heaven in a heartbeat. With that said, what's going on, my friend? How are you, Carrie?
Good to see you, Adam. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's good to have you. And that podcast is called Biz Nation, all one word, two caps, Biz Nation podcast. And so if you want to find it, it's also in the show notes. In our show notes now is the link to when I was on her show. And then there's literally just the main link to Biz Nation podcasts. So you own a company called Zinc Business Solutions. Yep. And you help entrepreneurs. So let's start with why numbers, why you care about numbers so much, Carrie.
Yeah, listen, it's quite a sad story, I have to confess. Actually, my first business, I fell flat on my face and failed epically. I was around about 21 at the time, so pretty young to be starting a business. My parents were business owners, so I grew up around business. But yeah, I didn't know my numbers. So I'd started to dive into it, but really didn't get a good grasp of the numbers and what it meant to run a business. I was clearly too young. Yeah. So after that, I think it became a little bit of a mission and a little bit of a goal to understand what went wrong, where it went wrong, and how I could fix it. And as you do, you kind of become the sponge of everything. And next minute, yeah, the numbers became the key aspect. But Adam, I have to say the one thing that I learned from that experience, and this was over a number of years, was it didn't matter what business you were in, the numbers were all the same. So from one industry to another, the numbers stayed quite consistent. And that's probably what saw me through the next many years, if I'm honest.
Okay. So what do you mean by the numbers being the same? So there's, let's just pretend like your podcast is a business and you got to make money through your podcast. You have certain KPIs and net operating income. How is that the same as any other business? Exactly.
Yeah, it's quite simple, actually, because of what a lot of base principles of finances work on and numbers in general is that it starts at the top and then it channels down. So if you're looking at business finance numbers, you've got the revenue coming in, the expenses going out, and then there's the bottom line. So although that sounds quite simple, but it really is that simple. It's not a big, scary space like everybody thinks. As long as you know what your revenue is and what your expenses are, you can see if you've actually made a profit. So from what my experience was working with other business owners for many years after, was that was still the same. That was still the end result. I couldn't help, though, but go to the next level with numbers. So for me, full nerd confession that I dive deep into numbers and understand the whole revenue space of how you're actually making that revenue, where it's coming from, the time and energy and product, if it may be a product or a service, and how that all comes about as well. So unpacking, looking at the numbers, again, full nerd confession here, but yeah, I just love that kind of space, which is pretty sad.
With like your podcast, have you from the get-go launched your podcast and we're obsessive about all these numbers, or is this more of recent development? If it's recent or if it's long term, the next obvious question is why? Why have you always done it, or why did you start doing it recently?
Yeah, I think it's one of the first things I really enjoyed about the podcast was getting those analytics and turning them into a spreadsheet. I'm a spreadsheet nerd as well, so actually putting them in week on week and seeing what was happening. But it became too much. Like, you start to look at those numbers too closely when you first start your podcast. Oh man, that was a deep, dark hole. So I decided, although I look at them, I don't digest them the same. So I've got a spreadsheet and it's got a couple of columns, and there's a column for last week and a column for this week. And there's a column in the middle on this spreadsheet, and I use it across all my social media, and I call it the column of truth. And what I've done in Excel is actually got a little formula happening where it gives me a percentage of increase or decrease. So I look at it and then I move on. You've got to move on, because if you kind of look, particularly in the early days, too closely, you kind of want to throw in the towel pretty quickly if you're focusing there too much. So still do it week on week, every Sunday morning. It's the first thing that I do, but just put it there, quickly look at it, pack it away, just to see what's going on.
What other numbers are important for us to pay attention to and keep track of for podcasts? In your mind, is it just that you want to know your downloads 1 week ago and your downloads this week and the difference between them? I have 2% more or 2% less this week. What other numbers do you think we should be paying attention to that can help us identify and understand what's working and what's not?
Yeah, really good question, Adam. For me, like, and it depends which platform you're on, because each host gives different types of analytics. The base for me is the downloads. Again, depending on where you are as to whether you get those unique listeners, there's a few changes in the analytics space at the moment because of what Apple's been doing and all that kind of stuff. But I look at the demographic as far as also like geographical, where the listeners are tuning in from, what platforms they're using. Are they on their mobiles? Are they on their desktops? But it kind of ties in, and depending on how you've got your podcast set up, as to hopping over to your Google Analytics. So watching that space, and people are actually listening on your website, depending on where you're popping in your links. But for me, I guess the podcast sits within all my social media stats, and I kind of look at it as a whole picture, because you could be popping teaser clips on Facebook or Instagram, and you just want to be across the whole space where you're putting your podcast out there, because at the end of the day, it kind of all ties in and relates and tells a bit of a story. But definitely in the podcast stats themselves, your downloads, I look at the days of the week when people listen. Normally it's in correlation with when I actually drop an episode, but it's interesting sometimes because I drop episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then suddenly there'll be a spike on a Sunday. But it's just good to know and watch what's happening and just keep in tune with all of those numbers. Again, depending on what your host gives you, but I even deep dive into seeing which platform they're using as far as they're listening from an Apple device or an Android device. I look at definitely the countries. And I also look at my statistics give me not only the days, but the clips. So for example, and when I say clips, they're the podcast tracks, it'll actually give me an overview of previous episodes and how many were listened to in that entire week. So it's interesting to see that a new listener or many new listeners come on and they'll actually go back and listen to previous episodes as well. And it's funny because on my side, one of the ones that just keeps on growing was a couple of episodes that I did over Christmas, which were a mashup of previous guests, and they just keep going up and up and up. So it's really cool to see that I really enjoyed those episodes, and it's good to see that other listeners are tuning in and still grabbing those. It's May now and they were dropped in December, so that's pretty cool.
So knowing that kind of just helps you know what your listener wants. Like you can see out as you look back, you can see which episodes were more popular, which one didn't really get any traction or much traction at all. And it can support you in making more decisions as you go to serve the listener. I totally get that. And I appreciate you going into that. Are you monetizing with your show right now, out of curiosity? And if so, what are you doing to do that?
Listen, I'm really not in the technical sense, I confess, but I think accidentally I am, because I've had so many people reach out to me as a result of the podcast. So that's leading into business opportunities. So I guess in the podcasting world, that is a form of monetizing, just not the traditional sense of ads or that type of thing. So that's the result of what's happening. That's not why I started and wasn't the purpose, but that's what's coming through today. I often get messages saying that people heard this episode or tuned into that one. And yeah, as a result, they're reaching out going, can you help me? So yeah, weird how that's kind of come about. I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. Do you want to monetize the show in the traditional sense, or would you prefer to have episodes completely free from ads because you feel maybe that that serves your listener better or something like that?
I think it's something that I'm looking at the moment, and another really good question, because I didn't think I'd be looking at it, if I'm honest. I think I am looking in the ad space, but I want to work on a bit more of a collaboration kind of ad structure. So speaking with other podcasters and working out how we could kind of cross promote each other, and whether that's podcast to podcast or business to business, because I don't know, I'm a bit probably unlike many other business owners. I don't see other people in a similar space to me as a competitor. I see them as my friend and someone that I can work with, because my plate gets full, their plate could get full, and there could be opportunities to cross promote and share those opportunities. So I think it's something that I am looking at probably in the next 3 months or something like that. Don't know what it looks like yet, early days, but yeah, probably not so open to the traditional ad space unless it really aligned with the purpose of my show. So that would have to be something quite unique.
One thing that you mentioned was not to avoid the numbers, not to hide behind the numbers, not to ignore the numbers. Make sure that you're aware of them and that you track them. Has there been a time like for you where you wanted to avoid the numbers, or is that just against your whole personality?
Yeah, good question. I think I have avoided the numbers at many points in time, just because sometimes it can get overwhelming. And again, you can hop down that little rabbit hole of, particularly on the podcast, I think I got to about episode 20, and not that I ever had an expectation of what they were going to do, but yeah, I think I'd started to watch it. I started to get a bit of a pattern, and there was a dip, and I was like, What is this? What's going on here? Where's everybody gone? What just happened? And it was just a rare occurrence. The next week it was back to normal, and then it continued to grow from there. So unusual circumstances. And I think if I kind of think back, there might have been like a holiday weekend or something like that in there. There was some kind of odd occurrence to that almost justified what had happened. So that was definitely a moment where I went, yeah, let's not focus on that piece in time. But numbers in general, they're just ingrained in my blood. It's in my veins. I can't help it. Someone says to me, oh, I need a spreadsheet. Oh, okay, I'll make a spreadsheet. It's like, I'm more than happy to. So yeah, love that kind of stuff.
What, like, I want to make sure I word this the right way. There's somebody listening. They're new at podcasting. They're just starting out. And we're talking today about not hiding behind numbers, not avoiding the numbers. There's power in numbers. Should they be obsessive of it right from the get-go, or is there a different approach?
I would say don't be obsessive, but just be aware. That's the biggest message, is you need to look and you need to be consistent in checking the numbers. Like, we can have these little thought bubbles in business and in podcasting and in life where we go, oh, I better go and do this, because you might see a post on social media and there'll be a little reminder. You might see a commercial on TV or something that'll go, oh yeah, I better do that. But it's like marketing. You need to be consistent, because sometimes if we check something 3 months ago and then we just randomly check it in a week's time, and then we kind of pick it up and put it down, going to really feel comfortable with it and going to get to know it super well in that space as well. So it's like marketing. I encourage people to be consistent and just get across it. Don't fear it. And really, if you don't understand it, reach out to someone for some help. That's the biggest thing, because many of us avoid the things that we don't understand. So again, it's consistency, but don't be afraid. Have a go. Have a look.
So I want to think about, like, maybe like how long, how many hours or minutes or days you should be spending looking at these analytics, trying to know what's going on and understand what's going on. And I think of it like, here we are, we have this new podcast and we're new at it, so we're hoping that we quit our job soon. But today we have a full-time job. We've got our full-time job. We might even be married. We may even have kids also. And we're trying to start this new podcast, this new venture. And as we do that, as we start it, we realize that there's a little bit more work and effort that goes into podcasting than maybe we would have expected. We could have decided, hey, all you got to do once you have a podcast is just record an episode, put bumpers on it, and publish it. What does that take? It took me 3 seconds to say it, so, you know, whatever. So here we are, we think that ahead of time, but then once we actually get started, if we're editing and doing our own post-production, it may take us 5, 10, 15 hours for one episode. And that's a lot. That could be a lot on our plate. Maybe even are looking at, holy cow, getting guests takes a lot of time, like trying to find a guest, trying to make sure that the guest is vetted and that they're going to add value. And that's another full-time job. And marketing my podcast, once the podcast comes out, I've got to market it. I've got to get it out in front of everybody. Oh, somebody told me about audiograms and videograms and quote cards and promo images. And oh, the only way for me to grow my podcast for free is to email those promo images to my guest and ask them to share it. I'm stressed out. So how much time do I devote toward these numbers?
Yeah, listen, it's not a huge, and this is the interesting part, it's not a huge time commitment. I think across my entire social media spreadsheet that I run every Sunday, I probably spend about 10 minutes. And again, not to deep dive and not to fully like get ingrained in it too much. You will a couple of times. That's just a given. Once you get comfortable, you will actually spend more time. And you might go, for example, on Instagram and look at the actual post individual stats and see what happened and what was most popular and what got all the comments and the likes. But the overview itself of this tracking tool that I use is 10 minutes, and that's across all the platforms, including the podcast. So it's not a massive, it sounds scary. People are like, oh my God, you've got to spend time looking at this, but it's not that bad. When you actually sit down and you've got a little formula to follow, you're just punching in numbers, super simple. So yeah, 10 minutes.
With that being just 10 minutes, it sounds ideal. It sounds awesome. I mean, most of us have 10 minutes a week. And on Sunday night, when there's not a lot going on, it seems like a good time to be able to do it. I wanted to find out, like, some of what you're talking about might be helpful to have, like, an assistant or a company that you outsource some of it to. And I'm wondering, what do you currently do in-house and what do you currently outsource? And in a perfect world, a year from now, 2 years from now, what do you now do in-house and what do you outsource?
Yeah, interesting question, Adam, because I started on my Pat Malone. I was just the solo, did the recording, got the guests, put it all together, did the editing, did the marketing, like I was doing it all and missing pieces, obviously, when I first started, because we all start somewhere and we're all learning. But yeah, I think I got to maybe episode, I'm just going to say 15 roughly. And I was busy in business and clients were busy and kind of stuff, but not from the podcast at that stage. And I needed a bit of a team. I needed to do something. I either needed to outsource or, as it turns out, I actually insourced. So I have my husband now doing the editing and my daughter does some social media. So I think all up, they're just doing a few hours a week, but that contribution to take the editing off my plate and the social media. And when I say social media, like I do all the copy for it and I come up with all the show notes, like I'm doing still so much of the podcast. I don't just turn up and record. But yeah, just to take away some of that heavy lifting was really, really good. And I have to say, my husband took everything to a whole new level. Like he came up with new artwork and methods of bringing the production together and kind of faster editing and also little processes that he does to make it sound amazing. So yeah, there's been a lot of change over 12 months. So probably from like month 3 onwards and moving forwards, I'm just going to stick with that because they're here. It works. Just if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing. So yeah, pretty happy with that.
Out of curiosity, how do you find your guests and how many episodes do you do? Are you solo, just having a dialogue or monologue? I like to say dialogue with your listener, but how many episodes are you maybe by yourself, if at all? And how many are you doing that are interview style, if at all?
Yeah, when I first started, I had this vision in my mind that I wanted to do, I call it top and tail. So I do a solo, I do an interview, a solo and an interview. So one for one and onwards. And I was dropping weekly. So that didn't seem too bad. I confess that I absolutely probably not fully exhausted all my biz buddies in my guests in the first probably 9 months type of thing. Now, a lot of my guests are coming from Clubhouse, from making connections on this wonderful audio app where we met. And yeah, so that's worked really well. I think if I hadn't have joined Clubhouse, it would have started to become a struggle. But it's interesting now, and I think the show's hit another level. We're reaching 12 months, which is quite interesting to hit that anniversary and a little bit of pride and joy to kind of say that. But I'm actually getting more external requests. I've joined a couple of platforms as well, guest sourcing platforms. Now, this sounds really bad, matchmaker.fm. So it's not a dating app. It's a podcast app to find guests and Podmatch. There's a few of them that I've joined as well. So I'm getting heaps of people reaching out to me there, but I'm noticing there's a lot more vetting needed in that space from random people. But now I actually get emails in my inbox and that's not from Clubhouse and that's not from any of those booking online spaces. Just people are finding my show and reaching out to me. So, but the other thing is, and this is something that I hadn't started doing too much, but have now, not just in Clubhouse, but reaching out to people you see on social media. More than likely, someone's really happy to come on the show and they get a bit of a plug and they get to bring their zone of genius. My podcast is all about business. So, man, I've got a huge arrangement of people that I can reach out to across the world. So, I think if I had to give advice for someone starting their podcast and looking for guests, I think the biggest thing is just don't be afraid to ask people. People that you see on social media, send them a DM. If that's not the best way to get in touch with them, which these days seems to work pretty well, if I'm honest, reach out, send them a message and be a little persistent. It's not a case of send them one message and you don't get a reply and just give up. I think it's really important and I'm sure a lot of people can appreciate that everybody's busy, everybody's kind of running in life and in business. So send them a DM and just see if they want to be on your show. A lot of people are happy to be on shows. So I think that's certainly a piece of advice that I give, something that I've started doing with people that resonate with me and I think would be good for my show and good for my audience. So I think there's so many things that we can do to get guests. But going back to the solo episodes, for me, because I started that at the beginning, I actually dropped it for about maybe 3 months. I had so many guests coming on the show and I just thought I was still on the weekly pattern. And then I went, hang on, I miss turning up. I miss having my say, and not to make it about me, but the delivery of the information that I want to bring to the audience, which is why I started in the first place. So to be able to reintroduce those solo episodes has been fantastic. But as a result, I've increased 2 shows a week. So instead of being weekly, now it's twice.
That's cool. So is it like one interview and one by yourself every week? Or is it like, how often are you doing solo then? Is it one of those is solo and one of those is an interview?
Well, I started going back to that pattern, and I confess, because I am very structured and I do like to have a bit of a plan and have it nice and neat and clean. There's a little bit of OCD in there. And then just the other day, I think it may be about a week ago, I was like, why am I doing this so rigidly? Why am I doing this top and tail again? So I actually had this awesome interview with a podcast guest and I went, you know what, I'm going to slot them into my solo and then pick it up again next week. So I've kind of loosened up a bit, having a little less rigid structure. And maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. The stats will no doubt show me what happened as a result of that. But I just like to mix it up a bit and again, hop over to the numbers and see what happens.
Yeah, I like that. You mentioned matchmaker.fm and Podmatch. So we have a resources section in the bottom, like just if when you scroll down in our show notes, there's going to be a bunch of links. So what I'll do is we'll put like 4 different ways to get guests down there. And so go ahead and scroll down if you'd like to, if you're listening, and which you are, and you'll see matchmaker.fm, Podmatch. You'll see a link to Podbooker as well. And you'll see a link to Interview Valet. Interview Valet is one where you pay a significant amount and they offload like everything and you don't have to do all the back and forth stuff. So there's 4 links in the resources section that you can kind of scroll down and check out. And you'll also get a link to carriezarb.com.au down in the show notes. You'll get a link to her website. You'll get a link to her podcast. And then you can also get a link to that one episode where I was on her podcast. And I think where we were talking about podcasting on, we were literally talking about podcasting, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And a bit of marketing on podcasting as well. Yep.
So if you want to jump on over there, that link is in the show notes. Carrie, if I am brand new and we've already talked about being a guest, we've already talked about getting guests, we've already talked a little bit about like knowing which numbers to look at, how to systemize and automate it, what things you would do differently. What about just pouring into a brand new podcaster with something that we haven't discussed that maybe you've learned along the way and you can kind of solve the problem for them having to go through the learning curve?
One of the things that's been and still is evolving for me, Adam, is the structure of my show. I didn't really think about it too much when I started and I started bringing on guests onto the show. What's the format? What does this look like? How do I get the best message across into the podcast without feeling like the guest is just turning up to drop nuggets and then run away? So that's something that I've worked on in just the last month and is starting to come through into the show. And again, we want to be relaxed. We want to have a great conversation. But unfortunately, one of the key things that I've learned is there does need to be a little bit of a structure behind the scenes, not to make things all rigid and that type of stuff. But yeah, just having some kind of flow to the show. That's just made that up. I don't know if I stole it from someone or whatever. But yeah, think about what you want it to look like. Think about the time of the episode, how long you want it to run for, and the key pieces of information. But also be a little bit selective in your guests. I think that's something we all experience as podcasters. We go through this journey of, oh, people want to come on my show, amazing. but are they part of the core message of your podcast? And just being using that vetting system and going through who's coming on, what they're going to bring, does it tie into the podcast itself is probably another really good tip. And I think the other one, going back to the start of the journey, and I'm sure we all experienced this, if not in podcasting, at least in another point of our lives, just take it easy on yourself. Those nerves and the butterflies and all that kind of stuff when you first start your podcast. Man, I remember like literally sitting here going, I don't want to press record, but I have to press record. Like just all that. And it really gets into your head and can be a little bit overwhelming. So that's another key thing that I say to a new podcaster is, you know, just relax, find the time that suits you, work it into your schedule. And sometimes for me personally, that's later at night. I might have another burst of energy before bedtime and just suddenly have all these thought bubbles in my head. It's the best time to hit record is when you're on fire and having those little brain spark moments. So I think that's a couple of pieces of advice there.
I want to talk about your business and how your podcast feeds into your business, what it does for your business, why you have a podcast in the first place. And just thinking about other podcasters or new podcasters or future podcasters, thinking like maybe they need to understand a direction. Of course, it'll plug your company as well, what you do for other people, and maybe you'd be able to serve somebody who's listening as well. But I want you to speak on it in the terms of the listener is a podcaster, does have a business. How do they think through their like avatar, their adding value, and maybe almost be part of some type of funnel to add awareness to what it is that they do in business? Because I think it's important that we all make money in life and hopefully through our podcast as well. So if you don't mind just sharing like your avatar, who you're serving, how you serve them, and I think we can get some tangibles from that as well.
Absolutely. I think for me, I didn't go into the podcast to make money. It was all about, it was that time of my life and time of business where I had the opportunity to give back. So for me, that wasn't the purpose. And then to actually get feedback and get inquiries into the business and using the podcast in that monetization kind of sense that just naturally flowed, it's pretty cool. Like it's actually pretty cool to know that someone heard you and that something that you said resonated with someone. From a business standpoint, my business helps other businesses. So a consultant, as you said earlier, I do like to focus on numbers because that's something that's just happens. But a lot of business owners reach out to me from a general consulting space. They might be looking for a little bit of advice or coaching, whether it's financial or just business in general. And I think that's pretty cool. And I have those conversations. Most of the time I don't charge people because I think they just want to, you know, an hour chat or they just need to get back on track. It often turns into further consulting and coaching and that type of stuff, just because I probably keep it pretty real and be honest with people and try to help at the end of the day. So I think the biggest thing about podcasting for me and what happened was it's become a brand and it's become Kerry getting out in the world, which is something that I probably wouldn't have been able to do without podcasting. Sure, I could have started a YouTube channel. That's probably another good avenue to go down. Pretty busy space, so I'm not sure what that looks like and I'm not going to be doing that anytime soon. But yeah, I think what a lot of podcasters will find, and a lot of people actually do it for this reason, is that brand awareness. You can actually become a brand from your podcast. And that's what's happened to me. The podcast is Biz Nation. My company is called Zinc Business Solutions, but my website is now kerryzarb.com.au. So tying all those in together at the end of the day, and the reason, just to go back, the reason I started the company was I thought I needed this big company, and this was years ago. I've had this company a very long time. I thought I needed this big company and this big brand to help people and to serve clients. And then just the last couple of years, I've sat back and gone, well, hang on, they're coming to me. Like they don't care what the company's called. They don't care what the logo is. It's about me as the human that's serving them. So it was interesting kind of transition in the last couple of years to come forward in my website as my own name. bit kind of mixed all that together. Sorry about that. But I think going out with your podcast with the intention to help people was the biggest and best move I ever made. I've got to be honest, because I wouldn't be here now if I didn't have a podcast, number one. So that's cool. You wouldn't have been on my show and I wouldn't have met so many other people. And it's amazing how meeting those people and making those connections, you know, guests that you have on your show will recommend you to someone else if they know your zone of genius. So it's just the best thing I ever did, honestly, Adam. It's just been fantastic.
Well, we could certainly end the podcast there. That's like a drop the mic type of point that you made. But I do have another question out of curiosity, and partly because the listener might be wondering as well. So like for you and your consulting and helping people figure out the numbers and their business and all of that, are all of your clients in Australia? Are they in US and Australia? Are they all over the world? Very curious about that.
Yeah, listen, the majority of my clients are here in Australia because obviously I've been here all my life. So that's just naturally happened over a number of years. And I've got many clients here that will refer me to other clients. And you get to the point where you have to kind of not say no, but almost like start to think a little bit smarter about how you're doing your business and bring in some other systems and some other team members to help as well. So that's pretty cool. But I've started with clients in the US now, and that's a result of Clubhouse, people reaching out to me. And again, I thank the podcast, because I don't think without the podcast I would be on Clubhouse, because the audio experience obviously resonates with podcasters. Yeah, so getting clients internationally now as a result of Clubhouse and the podcast and the rooms that I hang out in, that's pretty cool. But majority in Australia, but starting to hit international soils, which is awesome.
Final question. The listener has heard you mention Clubhouse a couple of times, and we met there. Does that mean that to get value and to grow a podcast and to connect with guests, is Clubhouse going to be, or is it already, an integral part of growing a podcast?
Listen, I think it does have legs, and I think you've hit on something quite interesting there, Adam. I think it does have legs, and it's funny because a lot of the discussions in Clubhouse in the early days, and probably still continuing now, were, is Clubhouse actually going to be the death of podcasting because people are tuning their ears into Clubhouse and these conversations rather than podcasts? I didn't see any drop in numbers, and I've heard from others that they didn't as well. And I think, if anything, it is helping us all reach new audiences and certainly make international connections that we may not have made before. So yeah, I wouldn't say you won't survive if you're not there, for sure. That's definitely not what I'm saying here, but I think it helps. I think it certainly helps to get more awareness to your podcast. So if you do have the opportunity to be on Clubhouse, I highly encourage it. But, and again, from the guest opportunity space, like those websites that you mentioned, and you're going to pop the links down there for the listener, I think there are other great avenues as well. So it's not be all end all Clubhouse in my mind, but I like it. So that's why I hang out there.
Awesome. Got a lot out of this short interview, and I just want to say thank you. Thanks for spending the time pouring into our business, letting us know what to look for with our numbers, what to track, how much time we should be spending doing that, and everything else that you shared. And those links are in the show notes. If you do end up going and checking out Carrie's, when you jump over to Biz Nation podcast, BizNation, it's also in the show notes. After listening to one or two episodes, just give her a written rating and review. Let her know what you think about it. And if you haven't yet rated and reviewed this show, I'd be honored if you'd spend the time to just give an honest rating and review and let us know what you think, what questions you have, what guests you think I need to have on the show. Just leave that in Apple ratings and reviews. I read all of them, and I would be more than happy to connect with you and support you. And I can only do that if you leave your comments there. So this has been a great episode with Carrie Zarb, and I'm your host, Adam A. Adams. If you want any help launching a show or just growing a show, feel free to go to growyourshow.com. We can support you. We can offload a lot of that. And what the best part is that we try to make sure that the prices, the numbers, the finances, the investment that you're going to make, we always want to give more value than we charge in price. And I think you'll see that if you and I have a conversation. So just go to growyourshow.com. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you so much. I'm going to let you go.
And thanks, that's Adam. A wrap.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.